Thanks for tuning in again to Organic Matters. Appreciate it week after week, whether you're picking me up on one of my podcasts or one of the radio stations. I think there's about a dozen different ways to get to this show now, and hope you found a successful one. You can always go to my name, Bruce.Dooley, BRUCE.DEULEY.com. Go directly to the actual show. You can also go to Organic Matters, one word, lowercase, organicmatters.info. Both will take you to my URL directly to the shows. Otherwise, you can go on Apple, the major podcast channels now. So thanks for tuning in. Let's start the show today with, I'm going to say about a half dozen. I think I'll get that far. Environmental and health benefits of what I promote, organic farming. But in our case, because I do a lot of just what I call gardening. So this will base around both gardening and, if you're really going further, it really get into the organic farming business. Let me begin by saying that organic farming uses natural methods of growing plants and caring for animals without using chemicals, especially things like herbicides and pesticides. More and more people are leaning towards the use of organic products as they become more aware of their benefits to the environment and to your health. So it's not a surprise that more organic options are now available, and farmers markets offering fresh and organic products have also increased 5 or 10-fold over the last 5 or 6 years. The most common reason some individuals veer away from buying organics is the price. It is because they are often more expensive than their non-organic counterparts. Why? Since it costs more and requires more effort to grow organic products, they're first, in my estimation, definitely worth the price. Moreover, they have several benefits to health and the environment that make them even more valuable. I'm gonna list a few here of some of the benefits that I just kind of come to the top of my head. For those of you who listen to me all the time, you'll know I'm gonna bring this up. That's that the more organics we do, the more global warming we fight. Each one of us just has to do a little bit. Organic farming helps fight global warming because it doesn't use chemicals that emit toxic substances during the production and use. Moreover, for instance, the Rodale Institute Farming Systems Trial, which has been going on since 1981, folks, has been comparing the effects of organic and conventional agriculture. And they showed that organic agriculture has positively contributed to slowing down the effects of climate change and reducing the levels of carbon dioxide in the environment. Not to mention, there's a number of studies that show the plant themselves, the organic plants that you're growing, actually have a more nutritious benefit to you than those that are grown with synthetic chemistry and fertilizer. In other words, it's healthier. The chemicals used in conventional farming stay in the products a lot of times, folks, even when cooked or cleansed, and they affect the health of those who consume it. Organic products are healthier options since they are basically chemical free. They also do not have preservatives, making them fresher and more nutritious, in addition to be just generally healthier for the world and for the environment. And one of the things a lot of people don't consider is this: organic methods of farming actually make the soil you're using healthier. Again, it boils down to it being chemical-free. Plus, healthy soils do not require as much water as soils used in conventional farming. Kind of as I just said, it conserves water. Healthy soils do not need as much water, so it's one way to conserve water. Organic agriculture also keeps water clean and safe from chemicals that may and do, in many cases, flow through from the waste disposed of in the production of conventional farming tools like herbicides and pesticides, in many cases leading to water pollution, which could endanger water animals. Moreover, there would be fewer clean water resources that would be safe for our consumption if we were not being more careful about it. Another sunlight to the benefits of healthy soil to the environment is that it also prevents erosion, which could cause a disaster that can lead to floods and damage to properties and injuries, or worse, even death to humans and animals. All of these floods we see now, a lot of it is because, first of all, we've covered a percentage of the world here with asphalt or some other covering, so water's have to drain, number one. And number two, the soils that they drain into have now been depleted of so much organic matter, they can't absorb that water. It ends up running into the rivers, into the streams, flooding everything, and of course, ending up with chemistry, many times in our oceans. And this year, it's a good time to talk about it because it's happened several times, well, let's say in the past year. Prevents algae blooms. Non-organic fertilizer runoff reaches water and causes algae blooms, also known as HAB, or harmful algal blooms. They harm the fish and all other water organisms in many ways if the blooms get too heavy. Furthermore, its adverse effects include fisheries closing and water supplies being cut off. It also affects the tourism industry, especially those that have these bodies of water as attractions. Last year, for instance, several water parks and even other water attractions, especially in Florida, had to be closed several times due to way overloaded algal blooms, all for one real reason, over-fertilization. Let me just kind of throw this in because we are now having to feed sea cows, manatees, thousands of pounds of lettuce and other things this whole winter and now coming into spring. I think they've quit now because the algal blooms were so bad that the normal foods that grow through the winter for the manatee didn't get a hold this year, so that they were starving to death in the wild. So that's just a concept I like to bring up once or twice a year, folks. If you're going to do gardening in your yard, where your children are, where your pets are, you're going to eat the food. And I should say here, when I think of gardening, I almost always think of vegetable gardening. I know a lot of you grow flowers and plants and trees, and yes, but even then, in the environment, it's much safer for you and the environment around you to grow those organically, even if they're not edible products. So just think about that. When you're putting your garden together, it may cost 10 or 15% more up front, but in the long term, in saving water and saving the use of herbicides and pesticides, you actually will save money rather than spend more once you get your organic gardening running. For a little change in subject, let's talk a little bit about just energy efficiency. For decades, some of the most effective ways of cutting carbon dioxide emissions have been to find ways to burn less fuel. Pretty simple answer. Think of the Honda Civic that I once had, incidentally, that you might have in your garage that can go now over 40 miles on a gallon of gas. Or one that I got recently, about 2 years ago, a new natural gas furnace that proved to be almost 90% more efficient than the 25-year-old furnace that had been in the house. Big difference in my electric bill, big difference in efficiency. But I think now it's about time to focus less on eking out gains in efficiency from burning fossil fuels and more on getting people and businesses to just cut fossil fuels out of their lives. And kind of think about it. We can try to squeeze out more efficiency of a single gas or diesel car, or you could simply bite the bullet and make the switch to go fully electric. The larger point I guess I'm trying to make here is the idea of energy efficiency needs to be kind of looked at again, reinvented for an era in which incremental improvements are no longer quite good enough. We need to jump ahead of the game, and trying to convince a majority of people to do that has proven to be rather difficult. That's just one example. The U.S. electricity sector has made great progress in reducing emissions in an interesting way, by building much more efficient natural gas power plants that can really easily outcompete any coal-fired plant, and also is way more efficient than the older natural gas plants that we've been so dependent upon. Folks, most scientists especially now realize that getting to near zero emissions is essential for protecting human life from the effects of climate change. And that's according to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and herds of other scientists. It's just generally common knowledge that we can't continue ever growing on these fossil fuels. It just cannot be and is not sustainable. Think about this, folks. I do. I think what the energy efficiency community really needs to realize is that the world is now quite different to what it was just a decade or two ago. Renewables have gotten so much cheaper. I mean, When you look at the cost of solar in particular and how that has dropped just over the last decade, clearly we're at the point with which it's cheaper to decarbonize the supply than to reduce the demand. Unfortunately, there are still forces out there, mostly big businesses, that are fighting this entire system. For example, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning industries are still geared almost totally to replace gas furnaces with other gas furnaces. Switching from gas to electric comes with the potential of substantial upfront cost that many people can't afford. There's a place the government could also be of assistance. Here I must say the larger issue is that government incentive programs in many businesses have not yet shifted to make fuel conversion a top priority. In the United States, the local ordinances and programs that do exist are literally still swimming against the tide of industry lobbying that works to preserve the market share for who? The fossil fuel industry. Not for the betterment of our environment, or even consideration of the long-term effects of what they're trying to, I still say, assault us with. So think about it. When you have to replace a refrigerator, or programs and many businesses have not yet shifted to make fuel conversion a top priority. In the United States, the local ordinances and programs that do exist are swimming against a tide of industry lobbying that works to preserve market shares for the fossil fuel industry. So we should all try to do our part. I'm currently driving a Ford Focus hybrid car, looking for an all-electric as soon as I can afford it. I have two electric bicycles. I have terrible ability to walk, but I walk all I can, and when I can't walk, I ride one of my bicycles. I have not been in a car in 2 days. All my running and my grocery shopping and everything, I use an electric bike. Electric assist, because I only have one knee that works. But I go everywhere on it, and it's become not only, I look forward to it, especially with the weather being so decent. So anyway, as things go along and you get the opportunity to switch over your heaters, switch over your cars, walk more, drive less, it does become a second way of nature with you after you've done it for a while. I've been doing it for several years, and I'm not perfect at it. I do my longer trips than I should sometimes. We're all guilty. But if every one of us just did our little part, the advantages would be tremendous.